We head to Washington for our weekly look at Congress with USA Today Washington correspondent Paul Singer. Yesterday, President Obama took a big step toward normalizing relations with Cuba by saying he'll take it off the state sponsors of terrorism list.
The president also backed down on his veto threat and will now approve a role for Congress in approving a nuclear agreement with Iran. Obama previously said he'd veto a bill mandating congressional approval, but after some influential Democrats joined Republicans in calling for a role, the White House changed course. Paul Singer joins us each Wednesday at this time. Paul, good to have you back.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Well, let's start in Cuba, shall we? So taking it off the list of state sponsors of terrorism, Congress could, as I understand it, stop this if they wanted to. What are the chances of that happening?
I don't think very good at the moment. I mean, I think the taking Cuba off of the list of state sponsors of terrorism, the whole idea there is that's what opens up the opportunity for American businesses to begin to engage there. Our Florida reporter Alan Gomez has written about this. It's really smart, some really smart analysis that. You know, Obama announced a bunch of liberalizing of trade with Cuba, but none of it could really take place until Cuba was off the state sponsor of terror, because businesses can't do business with countries on that list. So this is the thing, you know, when you sort of trigger that bureaucratic box by removing them from the list, then you can kick into action Obama's plan to improve relations with Cuba, and you'll see one of the reasons why I think that Congress will not get in the way of this part of it is that businesses are very, very interested in opening trade, more trade with Cuba.
What's the response been like from Congress to this notion so far?
Well, it depends on what party you're in, largely. Republicans have been very opposed to it, particularly those who may be running for president have been very opposed to it. But there actually has been some bipartisan support. I think it was Jeff Flake, the Republican senator from Arizona, has been really at the lead of this effort, encouraging more open relations with Cuba. And keep in mind as well that you'll see a lot of interest in trade with Cuba, particularly from some of the agricultural states where you have Republican lawmakers, because, you know, we want to sell these people rice and other American products. So it's not necessarily a party line thing, honestly. And you will see that there will be a lot of support amongst Republicans for some liberalizing of trade. Now, when we get to the point of establishing an embassy, that might be a different matter. But certainly for the Republicans who are running for president, they see this as a bad idea, and folks like Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, both with Cuban ancestry, they see this as selling out to a dictator.
And as you say, this is a big step, but one step among many toward normalization of relations with Cuba. Are there steps that a president couldn't go it alone on, that Congress would have to actively do something to take a next step?
Well, I'm pretty sure that there are still going to be sanctions that Congress will have to remove themselves, I believe. And of course, you know, if they were going to do anything like establish an embassy or appoint an ambassador, that would require Congress's involvement at some point. So I'm sure there are ways for Congress to get involved if they want to make an effort to obstruct this activity. I'm just not sure exactly where their hammer is. My suspicion is the closest they're going to be able to get for the near term is they could, in theory, prevent the lifting of any kind of sanctions.
Talking about the latest from Capitol Hill with Paul Singer from USA Today, and another big international story in Congress, one we've been tracking for some weeks now, negotiations with Iran. A big change there since the last time we talked about what's going on in Congress. What is new between Congress, the president, and Iran?
Yeah, the funny thing about what's new and the big change is that, you know, basically members of two parties sat down and worked out a deal that was agreeable to both sides, which, you know, is
just
kind of a landmark achievement.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, exactly. But the short version is, you know, Obama, particularly with the backing of many Democrats, did not want Congress to essentially scuttle talks with Iran, these negotiations over Iran's nuclear program that have been progressing, but progressing more slowly, I think, than the administration was hoping, and deadlines have already begun to slip. And, you know, what Congress has been saying, members of Congress in both parties have been saying, is, well, we would like an opportunity to review this deal. And there's a bunch of reasons why that's a complicating factor for the administration. Obviously, you can't negotiate a deal with another country and then come say, well, we have to go back to our, you know, Senate and make sure they'll approve it before it can be final. That makes it hard for another country to trust that America actually stands by what they're negotiating. And, of course, there was something like about 47 senators, Republican senators, who wrote a letter to the Iranian leadership saying, don't trust Obama because he can't bring you a deal we can. So it was appearing to be just a very partisan spitting match. What they've managed to work out between Mr. Corker and Mr. Cardin, the top Republican and the top Democrat on the Foreign Affairs Committee, is a timeline for Congress to have an opportunity to essentially say no to the deal. My understanding, and I'm not an expert in foreign policy, my understanding of the way this would work is that 30 days after a deal, Obama would be able to, you know, begin lifting the sanctions if Congress hasn't said no. And Congress will have an opportunity to vote, but Obama can't move until that 30-day period has lapsed. Then Congress gets an opportunity to vote. If they vote it down and they say, well, no, you know, we're going to object to lifting the sanctions, then there is a process whereby Obama could override and veto and stuff like that. So it basically just laid out a process that I think gives everyone a timetable, and a timetable where Obama can take action, he can negotiate a deal, and he can implement the deal. And I think it gives the administration some comfort that they have the time and the leeway to negotiate, and it gives Congress some comfort that they actually do have a say in this, and Obama's not going to just announce a deal and walk off without any kind of insight, oversight from them.
Let's move on to elections 2016, not the presidential side, though that comes up here, but the race for the Senate, Democrats hoping to regain control. Marco Rubio running for president, meaning he's not running for Senate. So Florida, obviously off in a swing state. How's that race going to shape up? Lots of people jumping in or announcing that they're not in already.
Yeah, it's going to be a circus. You know, there will be the fun thing about Florida is, as you mentioned, as no doubt your
Disney World, right?
Will recall.
Oh, no, wait.
You know, yeah, right. I mean, a lot of fun stuff always goes on in Florida. Presidential elections usually tilt on what happens in Florida, and having a competitive Senate race, of course, makes that even more exciting because now both parties are going to be activated on the ground. Both parties are going to be activated for their favorite candidates. People already looking to members of Congress. I think Patrick Murphy, congressman on the Democratic side, is already going to get in. There's some possibility that David Jolly, a congressman on the Republican side, will get in. There's going to be a long list of possibilities for that seat, which Mr. Rubio is giving up to run for the White House.
And then a Democrat retiring, Harry Reid, we've talked about that some already. That's another seat that's going to be in play. Might have been in play even if Harry Reid ran again, though.
Right, and this is the thing. Remember that we talked about this before. I think the Republicans were at a disadvantage going into the 2016 field in the Senate because there's a bunch of Republicans who were elected in 2010, like Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, for instance, in states that traditionally lean towards Democrats, particularly in presidential years. So it looked like those would be hard seats for the Republicans to hold. Well, now, you know, Harry Reid steps down in Nevada. That's a very competitive seat that the Democrats might not win. There's some possibility in West Virginia. Joe Manchin might step down and run for governor, another Democratic seat that might be available to Republicans. But now Democrats can say, oh, look, the Rubio seat in Florida, that's one we can win. So it's going to be a fun year, even at the congressional level, not necessarily just presidential.
Paul, thanks as always.
Of course, Rob. Looking forward to talking to you again.
That's USA Today Washington correspondent Paul Singer. He joins us each week at this time to break down the latest from Congress.